John chapter 13, Gospel of John chapter 13, and we'll read a text here, have a song, and get right into our Lord's Supper message tonight, John chapter 13. And I'm going to refer to the passage, several verses in the passage, in verses 2 through 10. Excuse me, but I'm just going to read verse 10 as our text verse tonight. So find it there, John 13, 10. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. And if you would, just follow along as I read this verse out loud. John chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So let's pray together. Dear Father, please speak to our hearts tonight through this passage in your word. And as we gather around this table and observe this ordinance tonight, I pray that, Lord, whatever you intended for this to be to our church, I pray that it would be that tonight. May it cause us to remember Christ and be close to him in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it. Bless the song and the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. As we consider this table, the table of the Lord. I'm going to speak tonight for a few moments, and then we'll have our ordinance on the subject, are your feet dirty? That's the question tonight, are your feet dirty? And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Or in other words, the only part he needs to wash is his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So are your feet dirty tonight? Let's pray together. And now, dear God, help me, I pray, for these few moments, and help my mind to be centered on exactly what you want us to say. And may you help us, Lord, tonight. I pray for our hearts. Lord, that's one of the things on our prayer list since Wednesday, that our hearts would be pure. May it be so, dear Lord. May we be clean and washed, I pray. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for this ordinance. May this ordinance speak to our hearts tonight. In Christ's name, and amen. I love the last phrase of verse number 1 in John 13. The Bible says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Jesus had a core group of 12 disciples, and He loved those men. He really did. Of course, one of them wasn't saved, Judas Iscariot, son of perdition. But He loved Judas the same. They were common men. They were tough men. Four of them, at least four of them, were fishermen, commercial fishermen by trade. And so they were tough men, rugged men. He called and they followed. And they were with Him when He preached sermons. They were with Him when He worked miracles. They were with Him when He was attacked by the Pharisees and the scribes. They were with Him. He got away once in a while by Himself to pray, but almost all His time was spent with those men for 3.5 years. And how He loved them. The Bible says He loved them unto the end. In this passage now, here He is. He's coming to the hour of His crucifixion, and He has supper with them. Luke's gospel says He strongly desired. He told them, with desire, I have desired to eat this supper with you. So He had a strong desire to have this time with these men that He loved dearly. The Bible says in verse number 2, and supper being ended. The bread had already been passed that represented, was symbolic of His body that would be broken and crucified, of course. And then the juice had been passed, which was symbolic of His blood that would be shed, pure blood, innocent blood, holy blood. So the supper has ended. And if we read down through the passage, you'd see where Jesus took off His outer coat. And then He took a towel. And He girded Himself with that towel. I would suppose that maybe He wrapped it around His waist, or maybe He threw it over His arm, if you would. And He poured water into a basin. And we've been through all that before, and I won't take time for that again tonight. And He began to wash the disciples' feet. And after He would wash their feet, He would dry those feet with a towel. Charles Spurgeon, in preaching on this text, entitled his sermon in Latin, Servant Servorum, which means servant of servants, Jesus Christ. And boy, He came to Peter, and you have to love Peter. You just have to love him. He was always in a mess. Peter was a Baptist and an independent Baptist, no doubt about it. He was always in a mess, but his heart sure was in the right place, wasn't it? He was impulsive. If that's you, Jesus, bid me walk on the water to you. Come on. All right. Boy, there he went. And he walked on that water. We talk about him drowning, but we don't talk much about the fact that he walked on that water. Amen. Until he saw it, got his eyes off Christ. He was explosive. And there in the garden, here they come, the Roman soldiers with their swords. Man, his sword comes out. He cuts off Malchus's right ear. Remember that? And he didn't swing like this, friend. He swung for Malchus's head. Malchus ducked. Chunk. got his ear. I told you, he's independent Baptist. Amen. No doubt about it. He was explosive. But his heart was always in the right place. And he says that Jesus came to Peter, and look what Peter said in verse number 6. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Lord, what are you doing? No, don't be too hard on him. This is Jesus. I have no doubt. I'm just a man. That's all I am. No better than anybody else. But I have no doubt that if I took a basin and a towel and started to take Brother Don's shoes off and Caleb's and Brother Jason's shoes off, and I'm sure they would say, Pastor, what are you doing? Don't do that. Now, Jorge, he may let me wash his feet. Amen. But anyway, he's not here. We'll talk about him while he's upstairs there in the service. Amen. Well, you can't be too hard on Peter for that, can you? Yeah, he's Lord, please. Don't do that. But look what Jesus said in verse number 7. Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He said, Peter, I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm teaching something literally here, and I'm also teaching something symbolic here. You don't understand it all now, but you'll get it all later. This is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. Well, at that point, then Peter should have just said, that's fine. But his temperament, his personality, look what he said in verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. No, Jesus. Well, don't be too hard on him. Some of us do the same thing. We say no, Jesus. Things he asked us to do. Things the Lord would like to do. We say no. He said, thou shalt never wash my feet. You'll not wash my feet. Then Jesus responded in verse number 8. Look at what he said. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What Jesus was saying, if you have no need of me washing you now, then I've never washed you to begin with. Jesus was saying, anybody and everybody that has been saved, anybody and everybody that I have saved, has need of being cleaned up on a continual basis. And if you don't feel the need to be cleaned up every now and again, Peter, you've never been clean to begin with. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we had a dead corpse on this platform tonight and laid a 400-pound weight on that corpse would not feel a thing. Because he's what? Dead. I'm saying tonight, as one of God's children, if you don't ever sense the need to be washed, if you go on and on and on and on every day through life and you never sense the need, you never sense the need to be washed, that's not a good sign of salvation. Now, Peter got it. He got it quick. He responded in verse number 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. By the way, folks, hold your finger right here. Look over at 1 John chapter 1. Look here now. 1 John chapter 1. Look a couple of verses. I'm back to what I said just a moment ago. If you don't ever feel the need for cleansing, that's not a good sign of salvation. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse... I'm sorry about my throat tonight. I don't know what... I'm having to clear it often. Look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin... Two important pronouns in that first phrase. We. Who's writing this? John, the beloved apostle, the one who laid his head on Jesus' breast at this very supper we're reading about here. So are we talking about saved people or unsaved people? We're talking about saved people. He says, if we say that we have no sin, saved people, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then he goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I've heard these verses used. I've heard verses 8 and 10 used a lot talking to unsaved people. Of course, verse number 9 is always used for saved people. But the whole context here is to save people. Are we together tonight? If we don't ever feel the need, sense the need, to be washed, maybe we've never been cleansed. I don't ever feel the need to have a confession time. Not to another man in a long dress with a backward collar. But I'm talking about to God. I'm telling you, it's real. And Peter got the message in verse number 9 back in the text. He said, Lord, my goodness, I don't want to have no part with you, that's for sure. Don't just wash my feet. Also my hands and my head. Peter said, Lord, just give me a whole bath. Jesus responded in verse number 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He said, the only thing a clean person needs is to be washed from his sin. Only thing a saved, if you're saved, you don't need to be saved again and saved again and saved again and saved again and saved again. You do a disservice to the blood of Christ. But every saved person that's clean, cleaned person has a need to be washed. And when he said, ye are clean, but not all. What he was saying was, 11 of you are saved, one is not. Verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. What he was saying was, 11 of you disciples have been saved. 11 of you disciples have been cleaned. One of you is still unclean. He knew who it was, the one that dipped his sop in the and his bread in the sop and ate. He knew that. But he said, all of you who are clean, all of you who are saved, you still have a need to be washed. That's what I'm doing, Peter. I want to wash your feet. Now, Jesus went to their feet. Of course, he was also literally teaching a lesson here on being a servant. But there was a lot of symbolism in this as well. Our feet are the part of our body that comes in contact with the earth. The earth is dirt. You walk outside in bare feet. You walk outside in sandaled feet. You come into contact with this earth. And if you do that all day long, before you go to bed at night, you need to wash your feet. I'm sure there's been everybody in this room basically maybe has taken a shower. You worked hard all day and you're all grimy and dirty. You took a bath or a shower, maybe late afternoon, noon, early in the evening. And then, you know, summertime, it's still light outside and the sun is pretty and the kids are outdoors. So you've had your bath, you've had your shower, but you go outside to toss the ball with the kids or swing them on the swing set, and you go outside barefooted. Don't you love to walk barefooted in the grass? Man, oh man. You know, we used to run barefooted everywhere. And used to run on rocks and gravel barefooted. I am a sissy. I can't walk on... And my little kids go running by on the gravel. I guess what happens when you get older. I used to could run like that on the gravel, but I can't do it anymore. The rocks hurt. But you don't have your shoes on, and you've already had your bath, you've already had your shower, and so when you come in, you didn't get so sweated up and so hot that you had to take another bath, another shower, but you had to wash your feet before you went to bed. Maybe even told your children, wash your feet before you go to bed. And sit down on the edge of the tub, run a little bit of water in the tub, and bend over with a little rag, a little soap, and wash your feet. Now, every day we live, we come into contact with a filthy, dirty world. And I'm not talking about with our feet, friend. I'm talking about with everything. The Bible says that when Lot lived down in the city of Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul through seeing and hearing the wicked deeds that were done all around him. And I'm going to tell you something, child of God. You and I are no different than Lot. Through what we see and through what we hear, it vexes our souls. It makes us dirty. A brother was telling me not too long ago about how dangerous it is to flip the channels on a television set with cable television. He said it's unbelievable. Even the commercials. And just by seeing and hearing, friend, we vex our souls. We get dirty. We don't need to be saved all over again. But we do need to be washed. The blood of Jesus saves us from sin's penalty, justifies us, and births us into God's family. And that same blood of Jesus saves us from sin's power. That is the sin that I come into contact with, the sin of my heart, the sins that I see and that I hear that vex my righteous soul. Those sins need to be washed on a daily basis. And I don't know of any better matter for us to take care of tonight, for us to think about tonight, than this business of making sure that we are washed. We're asking God for something big. We're attempting great things for God and asking Him for favors this week and asking Him to bless us. And I want to tell you something, friend, asking Him to use us. And God uses clean vessels. He uses clean vessels. So I can't think of anything better tonight for us to tend to and think on than this matter of being washed. If you're saved, you're clean. Hey, you know what? If you're saved, you are wearing a robe of righteousness tonight. And it's not the robe of your own practical righteousness. It is the robe of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, He looks at us through the righteousness of His Son. And you know what? When He looks at us through that righteousness, we are clean. Isn't that a blessing? I'm talking about from all those things that you some of us were involved in years ago. We're clean. Robed in the righteousness of Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. But our feet need to be washed. A lot of times you wash your feet before you go to bed. And you know what? It's a good time to get the dirt out of your soul before you go to bed. It's a good time to confess. It's a good time to ponder through the day for a few minutes and just breathe a prayer from your heart. Lord, I have a clean heart tonight. I don't want to carry anything into tomorrow. You see, the Bible says in the book of Lamentations chapter 3 that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day with Jesus Christ. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, brother. And if He's ready for me to have a new day, I want to be ready for Him. I don't want to carry that stuff into the next into tomorrow. So it's a good time to confess your sins. Don't wait for tomorrow. Go to bed with your feet washed. Now you come to the Lord's table tonight. What a good place to let Jesus wash our feet. What a good place. Approximately 2,000 years ago, Jesus washed His followers' feet, and that same Savior is standing tonight. Person, listen, the basin is filled, the towel is girded. He comes to each of us. Will you let Him wash your feet tonight? Will you? Will you hinder God's working in a congregation, in a crowd, by keeping your feet unwashed? Nothing hinders the working of God like sin does. Sin is repulsive to God. Repulsive. You'll hear that word a lot. But that's how God is about sin. My sin is repulsive to Him. Your sin is repulsive to Him. There's nothing that will hinder God working in our lives and working through us like our repulsive sin. And this is a great opportunity to get washed. Not saved, and saved again, and saved again, and saved again. Washed. Because saved people commit sin. Call it what it is. Don't call it an error. Don't call it a mistake. If we confess our mistakes, if we confess our error, no, that's not what it says. If we confess our sin. And a man came to a preacher one time who was preaching boldly against sin. And I mean, he was just naming it, buddy. It wasn't an affair. It was adultery. It wasn't a disease. It was drunkenness. You know what I'm talking about. He was playing with preaching on sin. And the man came and said, Pastor, he said, you know what? The people don't like to hear that. We're trying to reach this community. You need to kind of tone it down just a little bit and don't use that word sin, man alive. That's a bad word. Change it. Use it. Something. Say something like error. Say something like mistake, because that word sin just slaps you in the face. And the preacher said, okay. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do that if you do this. I want you to go to the drugstore tonight. I want you to buy a little bottle of strychnine poison. I want you to take it home, put it where your kids can reach it. And before you go to bed, I want you to create a label and stick it on there and put it over that where it says it has the big skull and the cross and the bones there, the cross, the bones and the skull, and it says warning, a poison. Tape a little label over that that says wintergreen. And the man was speechless. The pastor said to the man, he said, the more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dosage will be. Don't call it an error. Did you lose your temper this past week? That's sin. Did you get ugly this past week? Did you think of something you shouldn't have thought of? Did you view something you shouldn't have seen? Did you participate in something you shouldn't have participated in? I mean, what is it, friend? It's not a mistake and it's not an error. It is sin. Confess it as that. You say, it kind of goes against the grain. Jesus is standing with a towel and a basin tonight. He's standing here to wash us. Are your feet dirty? Don't go to bed with your feet dirty. Friend, it's one thing to go on and on and on and on and on and on through this life with no conviction of sin and no need or desire to seek God's forgiveness, that's a different matter. That's not a real positive sign that you're saved. But to live with a daily awareness that I have dirty feet. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock. For some of you men, you get up at 4:30. Some of you men get up at 4 o'clock. Some of you get up later on at 6 o'clock, whatever. And you spend a day, you spend 12 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours, 16 hours in some cases, 17 hours in this world. Friend, for us to get ready to go to bed and think that our feet aren't dirty, we're teasing ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Don't go to bed with your feet dirty. That conviction, that awareness, that sensation that, Lord, I need to be clean. I don't want to start tomorrow in arrears with you. Some pastor said of us, John R. Rice said, keep short accounts with God. We have a great event next week. Great event. I'm looking forward to it with all my heart. Can't wait. I'm excited about it. You say, what do we need to do to be ready? We need to pray. We need to work. We need to invite people. We need to be ready, prepared mentally and prepared in our hearts. We need all of that. But friend, when we show up next Sunday, we need clean feet too. Are your feet dirty tonight? What better place to get your feet washed than at the Lord's table? In your seat tonight, at the altar, for just a few minutes, ask the Lord to wash your feet. Some already know, God, my feet are dirty, and they need to be clean. Are you standing with the towel, friend? And He wants to clean your feet. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Before I pray tonight, I want to ask this question. Pastor, who would say this? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. When I consider the fact that I don't ever feel a conviction of sin, I never feel the need for cleansing, I never feel the awareness of being dirty and need to confess something, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that tonight? Anybody? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side. All right. If you've been saved but never baptized in deep water since you've been saved, you came tonight to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here tonight? All right. Then the question for the message tonight, are your feet dirty? Aren't you thankful that the Lord's mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad His compassions fail not? Great is His faithfulness. He's ready to begin a new day tomorrow, fresh and clean. I want to be ready too. I want my feet clean. I want my feet washed before I start the day tomorrow. Are your feet dirty? Are they? Dear Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Make us a clean people. Dear Lord, You talked about that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. You wanted the church to be washed with the water of the Word. Clean. Oh God, we live in such a filthy world. We see it. We hear it. It's all around us. We have that old sin nature inside of us. God, we need to get our feet washed. Help us to be clean. Before we go to bed tonight, wash our feet, I pray. Bring things to our mind. Bring things, Lord, to our attention. Put Your finger on things in our hearts. Dear Savior, wash our feet. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, as the ladies play us a song of invitation. if you would. Come on, fellas, and help us right in the front row here. Brother Don, we all set? Okay, very good. Brother Jim, come on over here, please, if you would. All right. Now, if you're a saved person and in good fellowship with the church, if you're visiting tonight and you're saved and good fellowship with the church where you're from, you're invited to take part in this with us tonight. This is not our table, it's the Lord's table. But we believe that you ought to be born again and in good fellowship with Christ and in good fellowship with a sister Baptist church, amen, to be a part of this supper tonight. And the way we do it here is we'll read a verse here about the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the men will pass the little pieces of unleavened bread, which represent the sinless body. We'll take one, we'll hold it, and then after everybody is served and we have somebody thank the Lord for that, we'll eat together and do the same thing with the juice that's symbolic of His blood. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. That's the unleavened bread now, because the body of Jesus Christ was without sin, pure and holy. And we'll pass this unleavened bread tonight as a reminder to us of the body that He went to the cross and died in. All right. The old hymn they're playing, it's on page 56. We're going to sing that old hymn together. The old rugged cross while the men finish passing the bread tonight. On a hill far away, you know what, you sing it from your heart tonight. Here we go. On a hill far away, stood on the rugged cross. Thank you. said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So, Brother Jason, would you stand, please, and thank God for sending His Son to go to that cross so that we could be saved. Paul wrote in the next verse, verse number 25, and said, "After the same manner also, he took the cup, passed the juice," which is, of course, symbolic of his precious blood, "sinless, pure, holy, that not only saves us from sin, but washes us and keeps us clean." All right, we'll pass the juice. Too deep for that blood to wash and cleanse. Amen. all my sins away. Lose all their guilty stains. And that's not just a good song. That's Bible. The blood of Christ goes deeper than the stain has gone. Amen. Verse 3, sing it out. There dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransom. Thankfully shed His blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The New Testament, that old covenant that was secured by the blood of those lambs, bulls, and goats, done away with. New Testament. Secured by the shed blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Brother Ray Nemeth, would you stand, please, sir? God bless you and ask the Lord, or thank the Lord, for coming to shed His precious blood. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Washes you, keeps you clean. That's wonderful. Praise God. And when he saves you, and when He washes you, He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Amen. We need to take the cups up, fellas, if you would. Let's. What song? What page is that? What sins are you talking about? I remember the day when I was sunk low. What sins are you talking about there? What page is that, ladies, in the book? We'll sing that. Number 32. We'll sing that. And while the men take up the cups, and then we'll have a couple of announcements. I remember the days when I was bent low. Page 32. Here's a great song. Let's sing it. I remember the days when I was bent low with the burden of sin and strife. And came in and rescued me, and He gave me a brand new life. And now as I thank Him day after day for washing my sins, it seems I can almost hear the voice of the blessed Savior say, what sins are talking about? I don't have them anymore. Life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Oh, when the flesh becomes weak, it's then I can speak to the Savior who's with me each day. Oh, Father, forgive me, hear my plea, and wash my sin away. not,